Land art, also called earthwork or earth art, is an art movement which uses elements found in nature and which the landscape and the work of art are inextricably linked. Land art is created within nature and uses natural materials such as soil, rocks such as bedrock, boulders and stones, but also logs, branches, leaves and water. Some material which are not natural, such as concrete, asphalt or mineral pigments, may also be used. The choice of location is of major importance if we consider that the sculptures are not placed in a landscape, but that the landscape itself becomes the means of creation. Art is made directly in the landscape, and the artists sometimes use bulldozers, cranes and dynamite to achieve their creations. As they are set in the open, they are subject to natural conditions and can erode. They are ephemeral by nature and survive through photographs or videos only. Some have been destroyed, but others can still be seen today, although altered. Land art is part of the wider conceptual art movement, born in the 1960s and 70s. It is understood as an artist protest against the commercialization of art at the end of the 1960s America. The founders rejected museums and galleries as the setting of artistic activity, and hence decide to develop monumental landscape projects which were beyond the reach of the commercial art market. The sudden appearance of land art in 1968 can be located as a response by a generation of artists, mostly in their late 20s, to the heightened political activism of the year and the emerging environmental movements. The movement began in October 1968 with the group exhibition Earthworks at the Dawn Gallery in New York. Perhaps the best known artist who worked in this genre was the American Robert Smithson, whose 1968 essay, The Sedimentation of the Mind, Earth Projects, provided a critical framework to the movement as a reaction to the disengagement of modernism from social issues. His best known piece, and probably the most famous piece of all land art, is the Spiral Jetty in 1970, for which Smithson arranged rock, earth and algae so as to form a long spiral-shaped jetty protruding into the Great Salt Lake in northern Utah in the US. The sculpture forms a 1,500-foot long, 15-foot wide, counterclockwise coil jutting from the shore into the lake. How much of the work, if any, is visible is dependent on the fluctuating water levels. Since its creation, the work has been completely covered and then uncovered again by water. The Rosal Point site is well known for the blood-red colour of its water. It is due to the presence of salt-tolerant bacteria and algae. During the construction of the jetty, which lasted 6 days, Robert Smithson wrote and directed a 32-minute colour film called Spiral Jetty. The current exposure of the jetty to the elements and to the ravages of its growing number of visitors has led to a controversy over the preservation of the sculpture. Discoloration of the rocks and exposure to the lake bed having altered the colours of the original, a proposal has emerged to buttress the sculpture and restore the original colours by the addition of new basalt rocks in the spirit of the original one. Some artists are against this project, objecting that Smithson wouldn't have approved. Some ambiguous statements lead to think that he didn't want his work to be kept from destruction. Smithson's Gravel Mirror with Cracks and Dust in 1968 is an example of land art existing in a gallery space rather than in a natural environment. It consists of a pile of gravel by the side of the partially mirrored gallery wall. In its simplicity of form and concentration of the materials themselves, this and other pieces of land art have an affinity with minimalism. Land artists in America relied mostly on wealthy patrons and private foundations to fund their often costly projects. With the sudden economic downturn of the mid-1970s, funds from these sources largely stopped. With the death of Robert Smithson in a plane crash in 1973, the movement lost one of its most important figureheads and declined rapidly. In most respects, land art has become part of mainstream public art, and in many cases the term land art is misused to label any kind of art in nature, even though conceptually not related to the avant-garde works by the pioneers of land art. The meaning has changed today. The new generation of land artists make impermanent interventions. The relationship with the environment is still strongly inspired by nature, but not necessarily by a reaction to urbanization.